too many Tic Tacs in the town.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
It's a banger. That song got better 25 years later. Silverchair. One of the best bands ever out of Australia. That was Australian Cobain. His voice, his style, his look. It just, the grittiness of it. That song, Tomorrow by Silverchair, is an absolute bona fide all-star banger. I love that song. God, it's so good. I had that album, Frog Stomp, 25 years ago. Just for that song. Still good. Still so good. It's funny because sometimes I went home the other night and I've got a drum set and guitars and amps in my basement, and my daughters were having a sleepover. And my daughters are convinced I'm like the best drummer that ever lived. And so they said, my dad can play drums. He's the best ever. Play drums for our friends, Dad. So I was like, okay, fine, I will. Clearly not the best drummer ever, but clearly think I am the best drummer ever. I just wailed on this Ludwig set in my basement. Wailed. The kids were jamming. Until I broke a stick in my eye, bleeding. It's pathetic. It's complete midlife crisis. Drum set for your kids. Oh, I'm Dave Grohl. You're not. Gulflandia 165. Here we are with a 90s banger. We've got the Shriners this week. We got the BMW PGA in Euro. A great doubles week. A great segment with Ryan, by the way. I just got really, really into this tournament this week. Really into this tournament. Let's talk about DraftKings first, though. And then we'll go into the stuff, and then we'll go into Ryan, and we'll close, and we'll stop you on this podcast. Last week, here's the read. Last week is in the books. Now it's time to review the tape and prepare for this week. There is no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to the excitement this week, or this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, catch means more with DraftKings. Like Tanyan tonight for the Packers. 3 touchdowns. What did Ryan say? Sternbergen, Bergenstergen? No! Tanyan. He's the god. Tight end. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. DraftKings has paid out billions of dollars to winners since 2012, so they know a thing or two about cold hard cash, except for Empire Maker 2's LOL lineup, which I copied last night. It did not do so well in GBP. Did not win billions of dollars. Now, download the DraftKings app and use code GOLFLANDIA for a limited time. New users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the Week 5 action. Enter code GOLFLANDIA to get a free shot. A free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code GOLFLANDIA. Only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Now, this week is the Shriners and the BMW PGA. Before I get to that, I will go quickly on two subjects. One, obviously you know I'm in advertising, creative marketing, etc. I think the greatest ad campaign, the greatest organic ad campaign I have ever seen in 20, 30 years, maybe ever, perhaps ever, that was handed to a brand in their lap was this Ocean Spray ad on TikTok with the gentleman on a skateboard singing Fleetwood Mac lyrics. You know, clearly shaved head, tatted up. You did not expect him to start singing that lyric of Fleetwood Mac drinking Ocean Spray on a skateboard. And just the emotional attachment you have to that ad and how it makes you feel, and then you having Ocean Spray in the ad is incredible. You cannot buy that sentiment. It is so authentic. It's, again, so organic. It is so natural. It is so connectable to an end user of your product. $1 trillion. That guy should make $1 trillion, literally. What makes me mad is that it's now, what, October 5th? They've had two tweets since September, both about Craisins. They've completely, I don't know if it's a legal standpoint or they're working on it, but they can't get enough of Craisins and Ocean Spray. You've got to capitalize on this guy. It's such an incredible story. I watch that ad as a pick-me-up for mood, just in general. Look at my Twitter account if you haven't seen it yet. It's awesome. Some guy goes on Twitter in reply to my tweet about my frustration with Ocean Spray. He said, maybe you should just have him on a skateboard, like swallowing a bunch of Craisins. Maybe that will help Ocean Spray's cause. The second subject is conspiracy theories. I have, in October, pre-election 2020, 7 months into COVID, economy, you're stagnant, you're at home. It's just a lot of stress. A lot of stress for 5 years, a lot of stress this year. My tolerance level for shit is low, very low. So you see me snapping periodically on Twitter recently. I cannot control it. Especially about conspiracy theories. And that one guy, Tommy whatever. It's mentalhealth.gov is what I replied to those tweets. Most of these people are lunatics. They need mentalhealth.gov. They need help. They are unwell in the brain. And or, as I said on Twitter, complete dickless, brainless, complete pieces of trash. One or the other, or both. So don't fertilize this content of conspiracy theories. It is not helping United States of America in 2020 at all. At all. And I use the word fertilized because some of you conspiracy theory, tinfoil, knob jobs, just circle jerk all over this conspiracy stuff because you're so attached and get off on it. Stop it. Be a absolute human in 2020 and use your fucking brain. Here's why. Like, was Trump sick? Is he faking it? Of course he was sick. He is sick. Yes. Conspiracy wackos. He was sick. He is sick. Did I go to... I could tell you I went to Saturn today. Here's how your conspiracy theory... Not conspiracy. Conspiracy theories work. I went to Saturn today. Prove I didn't. You can't. You, of course you can't. So you can create any theory. I can create a theory that I was in Saturn this afternoon. Prove I was not there. You cannot prove it. So that is the genesis of conspiracy theories. You cannot prove definitively anything is not true. But what you're ignoring is the logical side of the argument that completely prevents it from being possibly true. In a court of law, that's exactly what happens. Beyond a reasonable doubt. You can have some reasonable doubts that I did not go to Saturn today, which completely undermines your conspiracy theory. So don't disregard the other. Here's my only thing. If you're going to post shit on Twitter that's completely out to lunch, conspiracy Q wacko crap, because I have no tolerance for it and I'm going to lose my mind, the only thing I ask is put it to, as a logical functioning, executive functioning human being, put it together logically. Who's involved? Who would have to put it together? How would there be no leaks? What is the upside for the people involved? What is the downside that they're going to ignore? And how do you contain it? So all of these doctors for Trump are completely in on it. Completely. All of them. They all sat at a round table. They all sketched it out. They all said they're going to bottle it up, not leak to the press, and make this thing work. The moon landing. All of it. No one said a thing over 60 years that it was fake. Okay. No one. How does it work? Put it together for me. That is my question. Logically, rationally, who are the people involved? How are they doing it? What is their upside? You tell me they're not going to leak it to anyone. They're all in on it. Thousands of people. Won't say a thing to the press. Nothing. As Jay Moore once said on a podcast, you can't get a senator of the United States of America cannot get their toe sucked in Thailand without it being national news on the New York Times the next day. But you're going to put a conspiracy together by a moon landing is faked for 60 years? Get a brain. I am the least conspiratorial. I'm the most factual person on earth to a fault. None of that shit works for me. That is that. That's all I had to say. It has nothing to do with golf. But it does have to do with golf because there's conspiracies in golf too. Make it work. How does it work? Put it together. Convince me beyond a reasonable doubt. Otherwise, it's I went to Saturn today, Matt Wiley. Prove I didn't. I did. There it is. It's fact. Let's put a video on Twitter. Start Q. Q was started as a joke. It's a joke. Mentalhealth.gov. Go visit it. It will help you. All right, let's talk to Ryan. Cash rules
everything around me. Cream, get the money. Tiger Woods, y'all.
All right, Ryan, last week, let's talk Euro for a second. Did you watch any of the Scottish?
No. My team was very bad from the outset. My picks are very bad from the outset. The only thing that I watched, I was anti-rooting Aaron Rye because I bet him last week. So that was fun.
I could not believe it because you've been on Rye for multiple weeks.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I basically said, look, the field is slightly stronger. He's never won before. He's not going to win now. And yeah, fun.
And then Fleetwood missed. It was awful. It was pathetic.
It was bad.
I mean, really bad. Didn't even sort of try 24-inch putts. That's 2 feet. and missed. It was crazy. It was crazy.
He seems to take that stuff in stride, but you know it happens a lot. It happens a lot to him. So
it's almost it's very non-winning sort of style play.
Yes, correct.
And then Sergio, my God, we talked about him. Why is he playing? Well, he's going to win. That's why.
It's a good reason to play, honestly.
Yeah. Right. But then all of the people we talked about pricing, Jimmy Walker did okay. He was leading. JT Poston. Kevin Chappell, even.
Yep.
And then we got Summerlin this week, the Shriners. I like this course. I like this tournament. Do you like this tournament?
It's a fun one. Yeah, you know, we've had success at this tournament with our doubles. I think this is where we hit with Rose when he was in Turkey and with Sergio when he was at Valderrama. So I do like this tournament, and I like that we have a stronger field this year. This is a pretty strong field for a fall swing event.
Yeah, yeah. And I said to my rolling notes for the Shriners, because I've looked back a few years, what a throw by Rogers. It's an easy par 71 desert course. For the first time in what? A year. It's not tree lined. This is your not tree lined PGA Tour track. Unless there is wind, which is rare. I remember one day, I forget which year, but the wind was up and it was hellacious.
That's when Cantlay won.
That's right. And you had Chaka and Wee Kim in the playoff, and Wee Kim.
Yeah.
And he put one in the weeds, and it was over.
There you go.
But and that's when Chaka had long hair too. You will see 20 under par ish.
Yeah.
In my notes, I have three sets of notes, so I don't get too biased on one of them. They all aligned and said, putting, Matt, think putting. Solid approach, but this is, you know, a putting contest. Nah was nearly gained four strokes putting last year.
Yep, sounds about right.
Closing holes are the toughest. 18 provides a lot of drama. See the playoff from 2017 with Chaka and Wee Kim. The locals, now this is sort of abstract information, but Charlie Hoffman is a local. He has noted in the past that the demands of entertaining guests in Vegas, because every one of your friends wants to come to Vegas for these tournaments, the demands of it steals from the focus of the tournament play. So he finds he has to entertain so many fucking people during the week that he can't focus on golf. Now, whether that's valid in 2020, that's a question.
I doubt it, right? There's no one here.
They're right. But do take note of early tees on Thursday. There have been players who've missed, slept in, forgotten they were PGA pros Wednesday night because it is Vegas.
Is this a Grayson Murray segment?
Yeah, I think Brian Gay, it happened to him too. But good form. Actually, I know a story about Brian Gay it happened to. Good form, really good putters. I'll go through the pricing. There's a lot of interesting circled names. I said in my notes, Day Fowler, Denny Poston types, but I think I've got different ones. Anything you want to add to the tournament? Riot!
No. I think you got a lot of it. I think, as I said, we've seen the cream of the field rise here. You know, Bryson won here. Patrick Cantlay won and has been close a couple of times. Webb won here recently. So I don't think we're going to see a surprise winner per se.
No.
This is a course that I think brings a lot of players into play because it really is all about putting an iron play. So, like, yeah, you can see Kevin Na and those sorts of players pop here. I don't think you're going to see bombs away. I think the way guys are going to make 20, 25 birdies is going to be by wedging it close and making putts. So, you know, I mean, I typically don't get too granular with the data, but like if you want to look at like that 125 to 175 range, the wedges and short irons, I think that's where you're going to find the winner this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a – typically you can't find – you find a few maybe great pricing options that stand out. This week I found a ton. I don't think in these score fests – listen, of course the top tier of this field is great. Bryson, Webb, Cantlay, Finau, obviously great. But in these score fests – you have to gamble and say that a lot of these guys who are in lower pricing ranges can easily get to 20 under. You play Bryson on the U.S. Open type courses where they're extremely tough. In that regard, let me talk – before we get to pricing, let me talk about last week, the players playing this field in terms of stats carrying over. And this is really interesting stuff, by the way. Top five tee to green, Garcia, Sink, Camillo, what the hell, Ryan?
That was something, yeah.
MJ Dafu, who is a, I believe he was an Outlaw Tour standout during COVID, and Scott Stallings. Approach, Dafu, number one. Wow. Camillo, what the hell? A Sergio, McCumber, Sink, Circle McCumber, by the way, and Scott Stallings. Putting, this is interesting. McNealy, love this week. Malnati. Chapel, love this week. Poston, Norlander. Is Norlander typically a great putter, Ryan?
No, but that, last week was encouraging, and that price this week is encouraging.
Yes. Yes, we are on the same wavelength. So I looked here. So let's start in the higher price range. Ricky, I mean, I think Ricky and Day are probably the highest I would go in the 9,000s. I'm looking for low value with a lot on the table potentially.
Yeah.
Your guy Henley, I'm going to let you have the floor because I know you love him this week. I'm not going to talk about it.
I mean, I love Russell Henley every week. I think he's actually mispriced this week the wrong way. I think.
Too expensive.
I think it's too expensive, especially considering the strength of this field. But I think that is going to depress the ownership. You know, he's a guy where he's
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he's usually what, 7,600, 7,700, and I think he would have pushed 20-25% owned this week. But now that he's priced up here, you know, are you going to pay more for him than you will for Neiman? I don't think so.
No. Yeah, he's Mini Fowler Henley. He can putt. That's his game.
He can putt. He can play well in the wind. He can make a lot of birdies. But yeah, I just feel like he's slightly overpriced this week. But we'll see.
So in the sevens, a ton. Lonto is number one for me. 7,300 Lonto, give me a break. In this field, Lonto does everything well. Hadwin, 7.1. I know you're nodding with me right now.
Not to Hadwin. I don't play that guy.
Denny McCarthy, like he just produces.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. Top 10, 7.7. Even Matt Kuchar. I know, but seems like a very Matt Kuchar type course, 7.6.
Matt Kuchar type course?
Yeah. I mean, you know, not long, kind of, you know, just sort of plodding and can make putts. Mm-hmm. Well, who are you like in the sevens?
Yeah, there's a lot. I think obviously the first name you have to bring up is at 7,900, and that's Chuck Redman. He is the one guy.
What is that price?
I have no idea what happened there. I mean, he's been chalk for weeks, and he's been 88. Last week he was 9,700. Yes, everybody is going to play Doc Redman for 7,900. So I think again, that's the cash play, and then you have a lot of GPP options there. You mentioned Charlie Hoffman. I mean, you're looking for the local angle. You're looking for decent form. You're looking for a prolific birdie maker. Like, that's the guy. I have a feeling Cam Smith might play well this week. No. Nobody's going to play him for 7,800, but he's made, I guess, a couple no cuts here. But his form's been good for him. And you talk about a guy whose strengths are wedges and his putter. I think that makes a lot of sense here. I'm probably just going to fade McCarthy and Poston, just considering ownership. I think a lot of people are going to overreact to what happened last week. McCarthy was okay, but again, you know, both these guys they just ride really hot putters. So that's not, I think that's not of interest to me. And then below that, you know, I'm just going to pick birdie makers. So like when I think about weak field, very prolific birdie makers, like I see Varner, I see Palmer, I see Brendan Steele. Like I want to play those guys.
I'm going to add to this in the 6,000s because there's a ton of good guys.
Yeah, there's a lot.
McNealy, 6.9. Led last week in putting. He is, he makes a lot of cuts, seems to make a lot of top tens, and can putt and just playing well. Norlander. Okay, so Norlander, he had a few weeks rough, and it just dropped his price a couple grand. I mean, he was up near top tier.
Yep.
Had a couple of bad ball striking weeks. Now you turn around last week in Jackson, and he is fifth in putting, which is not his game. Norlander sub 7,000 this field. Watch out. McCumber. McCumber was fourth in approach last week. Tyler McCumber, 6.5 on it. Chapel. I can't believe they didn't price up Chapel because Chapel is what? Elite, you know, iron player, ball striker, Riviera Master.
Seems to be third putting better too.
Third last week in putting, 6.4. Good luck.
Yeah, that's an interesting one for sure. Yeah, McCumber. I played McCumber last week. I only made one team last week, but he was on it. And, you know, I used the stats from Corrales, not that they meant very much, but he was really good, greens in regulation and accuracy. And then last week was great with approach again. And they priced him down. He was
crazy.
6,800 last week. Now he's 6,500. Like, yeah. I'm going to be playing a lot of McCumber, I think. But yes, there's a lot of choices down here. You know, I think, again, I'm going to default to birdie makers, and I'm going to default to really good iron players. So you mentioned Norlander. I think that's an easy one. I would be remiss not to mention someone at the same price at $6,900 this week. Kyle Stanley. It makes a lot of sense.
There are numbers you can call for rehabilitation on that.
He missed the cut by one last week. He shot 68 in the second round. Like, it's not like he's playing badly. And when you look at that range of iron play, no, he's first from 125 to 150, and he's first from 150 to 175. So, like, yes, if I build a lot of teams, he's going to make it. But yeah, I mean, just look at birdie makers. You know, Patrick Rogers.
Ryan Zhang.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so they've depressed his price 2,000 from last week, it seems.
Strange, yeah. Patrick Rogers, who burned everybody last week, he's 6,800. I mean, you want birdie makers? You have Gooch, you have Tyler Duncan, you have Danny Lee, you have Chesson Hadley. Like, all of those guys make a lot of birdies. But I will tell you, my Matthew Wiley stop play of the week, and you're not going to like this one. Hell, I don't like this one.
Hang on. The stop play, by the way, is a strategic top overlooked play.
Yes.
Which the irony is that you're supposed to stop playing them. Is it a low dollar play?
It's in the sixes.
Is it Mark Hubbard?
Close. It is Russell Knox.
Oh God. You are nuts.
I am.
You just need to marry into that family.
I'm hoping. Look, he's honest. He's been playing a lot better. The iron play has been
still
great.
Single.
Yeah, he's been playing a lot better. The iron play has really been pretty solid. And last week he shot like 80 in the second round, so no one's going to play him. But yeah, I think he's a great play this week. He's going to be 1% owned. The iron play is there. And if you would rather play a guy at the same price who has the local angle, you have Scott Piercy. I mean, nobody likes Scott Piercy, but like
no one.
He makes a lot of sense there.
Right. Okay, fine. I love those three. A Norlander, Chapel, McNealy for a price. I have no idea who wins. I think Lonto is stupidly priced at 7 points. There's a lot of really weird pricing.
Yeah. Here's one for you. Your guy, J.B. Holmes. He popped a little bit last week, and then did you see what happened? He shot 81 on Sunday.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
No, but I'm saying like he would have been close to the top 20 or 25 if he had a normal round on Sunday. No one's going to play him. He's 6,400, can make a lot of birdies. Like, sure, play some JB Holmes.
Here's how you win this week. You go to Vegas and you see who's at the casino Wednesday night late. Who doesn't gamble? Like, who are the non-gamblers? Who are the teetotalers? Not, I mean, and then you can figure out who to fade. Maybe that's someone who should pay for info. But here's the other thing we haven't talked about, Ryan. Molinari's back.
Yeah, and they hit him down there at $6,700. I mean, I assume people are going to play him.
Yeah, well, I mean, I as a human being, as a golf fan, I love Molinari. Good Molinari. He is a straight, stone-cold fucking killer. Was it the Quicken that he destroyed people by 100 2 years ago?
Yes.
He's just a menace.
Yeah, I mean, he was obviously going through some stuff. It looked like mentally, maybe some injury.
Mental injury?
Yeah. He hasn't played since February. He really said he wasn't even practicing that much. He's only played 10 rounds this year, and he broke 71. So it's not like he was even playing well before the pandemic. So I'm just going to take a wait-and-see approach. I honestly, you know, I would expect him to make the cut, which, you know, it could be fine, but, like, probably finish 40th or 50th or something.
Yeah. No, I mean, you can't just do it, but nothing is better than really strong Molinari playing out of his mind, because he is so competitive. He doesn't care. He wants to step on your larynx, throat.
Yes.
And just kill you. He does not care. I love it. Molinari's great. All right, let's move to – this is a great doubles week, as you said earlier in a text. BMW PGA Wentworth, the BMW PGA, with a monster field. A monster field. The course, Wentworth, obviously. Surrey, UK. These are Mike Miller's notes from Green Square Golf. Greensquare.golf. If you want history, form, course history, course form, recent form, all tours, all players, go to greensquare.golf. It's a company with me and Mike Miller. It's great.com. The course, Wentworth Club, I remember, it's a beautiful course. It's fantastic. And I felt like Donald Trump there. But like Matt Fitzpatrick last year, do you remember the, was it a 7-wood or a 5-wood?
It's just not good.
And when he launched 4 off the fairway into, it was great. OB.
Yes.
But it's a hell of a tournament. 25 miles southwest from London, Harry Colt 1926 design, challenging. You don't get tree lined in the US this week, but you do get tree lined, very tree lined, traditional heathlands in Surrey, UK. Par 72, 7,200 yards, tightish fairways, shot shaping both ways, strategic bunkering, tricky winds. The rough is long, tangling, per Mike. Greens, hard to read bent grass, many with shade runoffs. It's a green and rakes course and bent grass putting. It is a pure challenge and a beautiful, beautiful for your late night, early morning golf to watch, and the field is epic. I am eyeballing one golfer this week out of all. I said it was Matt Wallace last week. He did not play well. But this week, there's one player, and I think we're going to hit the same guy together I'm eyeballing.
Is it Ty Hatton?
That's number two. Very close.
Yeah, I mean, I have...
You're close.
Yeah, I mean, I have Hatton and Fleetwood are really the two guys that I'm focused
Who's
on.
Who's your three?
Yeah.
Who's your number three?
I mean, look, it's probably Thomas Peters. I don't want it to be Thomas Peters. But it's really just two for me.
It's EVR. That is your winner this week.
You think he can win in this field?
Yes, I do. I love EVR.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting because they still have that really cold weather that we've seen the last couple of weeks. So And this course is already hard. So I think you're going to see some carnage. I think you're going to see guys struggle a lot. So I'm really going to look at the form from the last couple of weeks, at the Irish Open, Scottish Open, and just kind of go from there.
Not Justin Rose. Never Justin
Rose. Oh, God, no. Yeah, I think he's clearly the guy that I would have no interest in. You know, Patrick Reed makes a lot of sense here. It's just like
he does.
I don't. It's hard to predict when these guys, like, they come over to Europe and they're the favorite, because really, you know, he has to win.
Does Robert Rock? You didn't watch any last week. I watched a lot last week of the Scottish. Does Robert Rock design his hair to own people who don't have any? Because it's just obscene. Like he gets like, you know, the tips colored and stuff. He gets the foil. It's elite hair. I mean, he just hair.
Yeah.
And it's probably really offensive to guys who don't have hair, I would say. He's a terrible putter.
He's a terrible putter. Has a pretty good short game. He kind of just keeps it in play. You know, yeah, he's the perfect guy for these sort of events. And like when par's a good score and the weather gets tough, he just kind of hangs in there. I think he makes a lot of sense here. But yeah, look, the field is stronger. We talked about doubles. I think it's a great week for doubles. You pick three or four at the top here. Who you like? I mean, I'm probably EVR. Not going to make
EVR Ty Hatton.
Yeah, like I'm not going to make any bets. You know, maybe I pick one guy if it's Hatton or something, but I don't think anyone outside of 30 or 40 to one has a chance here.
No, I don't. Like, I agree.
I mean, maybe Westwood, he's 33 to 35 is a little bit interesting.
No, never Westwood, Ryan. I did it once. It's a really bad experience.
Yeah, I mean, Peters is around 40. Like, that's really about it. You know, I think it's going to be Fleetwood, Hatton, or someone up there. So
don't suck me into Herbert because I'm not going there.
What a weird – he almost won last week after shooting plus seven on Saturday. So
yeah,
that was a strange day.
Danny Willett will not be sucked into it. John Caitlin, it's over. It's EVR Hatton. Why haven't you mentioned Fitzpatrick?
I was just going to let it go. People are picking him. He's playing all right. I'm sure he'll play okay. He'll finish like 12th or 18th or something. He's just not close. He's just not close, and he's priced up with these guys at the top. But yeah, there are some guys, you know, everybody, and I swear this is not me. I think Ben Coley wrote him up, but everybody's on Bjork.
Sorry, who?
Yeah. People love Alex Bjork this week. He's played okay here. Back-to-back top 25 the last 2 weeks. Yeah, I mean, I think he's fine. You know, if you're looking for a cheap DraftKings guy, I would play him. But, like, I'm not betting Alex Bjork here.
If you're looking for a cheap top 50.
Yeah, you know, 19th last week, 24th in Portugal. He's playing all right. And then Adri, he showed some signs of life last week after really, like, kind of not playing at all. He had a nice long layoff, and then 23rd in Ireland, 26th last week in Scotland. Like, that's an interesting name.
Okay, I'm going to go down the list here and find out the name you're thinking about that is way deep that no one is talking about.
So you actually won't find it because I didn't choose him based off of just results. I found some stats from last week of the people who are in this field.
Mm-hmm.
That played last week. This guy was number one in ball striking.
Mark Warren.
Callum Shinquin. And wow. I'm a sucker for ball striking. And look,
I like Callum Shinquin.
Sure. Look, he's probably an auto bet for first round leader this week. I mean, that's probably as far as I would go. Look, I mean, anytime you see ball striking like that and a guy who thrives in these sorts of conditions, like, yeah. I'll take that guy.
I'm a huge Shinquin fan.
Yeah, the other guy all down right. there who's I just think way too cheap for the kind of player he is Jack Singbrar. He's basically priced at the bottom here for DraftKings. If, like, you need a punt, like, that's a guy who can make a cut.
Right. No.
This is very low, yes.
I'm a huge Ollie Fisher fan, but his form sucks.
Yeah, he kind of hit a wall here.
All right. So here are the doubles. If I were to do them, I would do Ty Hatton, Eric Van Rooyen, totally all in on those two. Bernd Weisberger. He's tough. No, I would do EVR, Ty Hatton at the Shriners. Fuck, it's really hard. Really hard. I can't even give names like Norlander.
Well, I mean, I just think
so you want to pay $1 million.
Yeah, I mean, for doubles, like I don't know how you just don't blindly include, you know, Bryson and Webb, who both
That's
are
right.
playing well.
I mean, you
both
could
one here, like yeah, like I'm probably just going to do that. I'll pick three from Europe, maybe four, and basically just do Bryson and Webb. I guess I'm thinking about adding Matthew Wolf, actually.
I am not a Wolf guy, but I totally agree.
I mean, this is a birdie fest. He's playing about as well as he can. And yeah, like thing about Wolf is, you know, like you won't be blown away by his approach numbers because he's so inconsistent, right? Like he'll lose 2.5 strokes approach the first day and then gain.
But he'll light up the putter, man.
Yeah.
That guy can.
And like, I want a guy who can make a bunch of birdies. So yeah,
I
I'm
totally
definitely doing
agree.
Bryson and Webb. And then my third guy will probably be Wolf. I just don't trust Patrick Cantlay. I don't care about the course history.
It's no, just, I totally agree.
He's just not playing well.
What about Ricky at 9K? I mean,
I don't know. I don't think we play Ricky.
I don't know. Okay.
But yeah, for me, it's probably just going to be Hatton, Fleetwood, and then, you know, I'll decide on if it's going to be Patrick Reed or not. I don't mind Patrick Reed. I don't want to miss that. Like, look, it could very easily be a Reed and Bryson this week, and if like we don't have that, I'm just gonna puke. So,
no, I think we're in the same range with EVR and Ty Hatton. I think it's a perfect setup for them.
Let's do it.
All right, man. Thank you.
See ya. Back to showdown.
Let's do it.
See ya.
All right, that's it. I like EVR, Ty Hatton. Who doesn't in the BMW PGA? I think Ryan's ignoring Fitz, and he could come back like Rye did last week and win. What a stinger for Ryan Barrett if Fitzpatrick wins. Shriners is very tough. Very tough. Maybe okay for DFS. Outrights, wow. I think that Lonto, McNealy, Norlander, Chapel, McCumber, Zhang, all value. The toppest end I'd go in terms of betting, Ricky and Day, but come on. But you can do a nice stars and scrubs this week. So that's it. Until 166. Bye-bye.